Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
We're back for another brand new edition of Drive Time Sports right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Happy to be along with you on this Wednesday edition of the show. Great to be back live in the studio yesterday. We talked nothing but college and NFL football. Mostly college. Now it's starting to wind down a little bit. Bowl season is approaching its end. We're a few days away from the national championship. Clemson and Alabama once again. We talked a lot of college football yesterday. I tell you, I was pleasantly surprised last night as Texas and Georgia went toe-to-toe. Very entertaining game, and I really expected Georgia to come out and handle Texas. But boy, that was a compelling bowl game. And Georgia just never seemed to get it rolling. And I always laugh at that. This is something that I laugh about with bowl season, and I guess I'll sound off here for just a moment on college football bowl season. So Georgia had expectations of getting back into the college football playoff. The Sugar Bowl's not what they had in mind, but that's where they were faced. The running excuse for a team that performed well during the regular season that doesn't get into the tournament or doesn't get to the national championship, they were uninspired. They didn't want to be there. That was the excuse that I seen all day on social media. No, look, Texas dominated them in all aspects of that game. Texas, Tom Herman, I thought, was more aggressive than Kirby Smart the entire contest. Texas outplayed Georgia. I don't care that Georgia felt let down. I'm not getting into the postseason. They were manhandled last night. That's a sorry excuse. It's a bad excuse. And it seems like that excuse typically revolves around SEC squads. And if you're a Utah Ute fan, you know what I'm talking about. When Utah beat Alabama in the Sugar Bowl 10 years ago, a decade ago, that was the excuse. Well, Alabama, their expectations were to get to the national championship game. That's irrelevant. The idea in college football is to perform over the first 12 to 13 weeks of the season, and that sets you up for the postseason. All right, Georgia lost twice. They lost their third game last night. Tip your hat to Texas, Tom Herman. That's a huge win for the Texas Longhorns. The biggest win for the Longhorns since Vince Young and company beat USC in the national championship. It's been a long time coming, and they did it with Jake Fromm playing fairly well. But I thought it was very entertaining. May have been one of the more entertaining bowl games. Yesterday, while we were on the air, we had the Rose Bowl, which Ohio State picked up a 28-23 win. Washington outscores Ohio State 20-0 in the fourth quarter. The last game for Urban Meyer. I've been on two stations today talking about that. Is it the last time we see Urban Meyer on the sideline? I believe yes, absolutely. I don't know that it's Urban Meyer's decision. I don't believe his health will allow him to coach. I do believe that you're going to see him pop up among rumors already. I know the rumor mill is churning that maybe he would be next in line at USC. I don't think his health is going to permit him coaching in college football again. He closes out his career with a win in the Rose Bowl, a game he had never coached in. That's a good sign off for Urban Meyer. Jake Browning did play well in the loss yesterday for Washington. That game a little bit more compelling than I thought it was going to be. Those were the two big games that we didn't get to talk about yesterday because we were on air at the time of the Rose Bowl, and then the Sugar Bowl comes late last night. But now bowl season, it's going to slow down a little bit. On the show today, I want to put a heavy focus and emphasis on the local sports front. Now that the moratorium period has reached its end, practice will pick back up today. We're going to be joined by Coach Kurt Christiansen of the Emory High School wrestling team. That's coming up next segment. And we'll also talk with Coach Kyle Wilson of the Carbondano boys basketball squad. Two big games coming up back-to-back style for the Dinos. They will take on Mazer Prep Friday on KRPX 95.3 The Peak. That's a Region 14 tilt. And then on Saturday, they will take on the Emory Spartans. That game will be on two separate stations, KOAL and KRPX. It'll pick up here on KOAL following the USU Eastern game. It's go time now for local basketball. It seems like we got something almost every single night And so I'm excited to get through the holiday season and get rolling with January and February. A lot of fun local sports topics to get into. That'll be on the show today. Let's take a look at the national sports headlines and the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll start with the NFL. The Steelers are not in the playoffs, and that is a shocker. I remember, I don't know, 8-9 weeks ago, I said on the show the way Pittsburgh had performed, the way they had rebounded, that Mike Tomlin at the midway point should have had consideration for Coach of the Year because I thought the situation in Pittsburgh was toxic. Le'Veon Bell was at the front of the headlines. Comes out, it's even more toxic than we realized. Antonio Brown was benched on Sunday against Cincinnati because he failed to show up for work Saturday. And then it was also reported that he had asked for a trade. Now, during his end-of-the-year news conference, Mike Tomlin, head coach, cited a lack of communication between Brown and the team. He didn't hide from any of the troubles. I mean, he said that it was somewhat of a toxic situation. He was asked if he thought that Antonio Brown quit on the Steelers. And Tomlin responded with, quote, "You know, you can describe it in whatever ways you want to describe it. Bottom line is, we were playing a significant game and he didn't do a good job of communicating or being available." Basically, Mike Tomlin said, yeah, he quit on us. He also talked about the idea of waking up saying that Brown wanted a trade. He says that's not true. He's never asked for a trade. He hasn't formally asked for a trade. But we could spend a whole show talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I want to save this conversation for a day when we're not focused so much on the local sports front. Is it time to flip the page in this chapter of Pittsburgh Steeler football? Because you had the Le'Veon Bell situation, toxic. I think there's more to the Antonio Brown deal. I don't know how much time Ben Roethlisberger has left, and let's face it, this team did not make the postseason. I think there's trouble in Pittsburgh, and you know, I guess maybe it is close. I think you have to at least have the conversation, is it time to turn the page in Pittsburgh? Because you have valuable options that you could get something for on the trade market. Problem is, you're going to have to eat a lot of money if you do it before a certain time in the summer. Like I said, the Pittsburgh Steelers, it's a conversation for another day. But according to Mike Tomlin, Antonio Brown has not requested a trade. That was some of the news coming out today. We don't talk a lot of WWE on the show. We have had some WWE wrestlers. Look, I can make all the jokes I want about the WWE now. But the fact is, most men my age grew up watching the WWE at some point in time, the WWF at that particular time. I was kind of saddened by this news today that Mean Gene Okerlund, who was one of the greatest backstage interviewers, I mean, he played the part so well in the WWE, he passed away at the age of 76. And I'll tell you, Mean Gene Okerlund is an individual that we worked very hard to try to get here on Drive Time Sports, and for whatever reason, it just never meshed up. I'm definitely sad to see that Mean Gene Okerlund again has passed away at 76. Boy, that guy, he was the WWF. When you think of the golden age, think of growing up around the Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior and Macho Man. Mean Gene Okerlund was in the center of all of that. So some very sad news. WWF legend Mean Gene Okerlund passing away earlier today at the age of 76 years old. Let's take a look at the national sports scoreboard, and really it's all NBA at this point in time as we await the NFL playoffs this weekend and, of course, the national championship on Monday. But a full slate of NBA games, and they all get off and rolling at 5 p.m. tonight. We get Dallas at Charlotte. Miami will travel to meet the Cavaliers. The Wizards play host to the Hawks, and then we get the Pelicans on the road to take on the Brooklyn Nets. All of those games inside 5 o'clock. 6 o'clock tonight, nationally televised game. The Minnesota Timberwolves will battle the Boston Celtics. That game is on ESPN tonight, 6 p.m. Orlando at Chicago. Memphis will welcome in Detroit, and we get Philadelphia at Phoenix. Second game of the doubleheader tonight on ESPN, the Lakers will play host to Oklahoma City. No LeBron James in tonight's game. He's still nursing the pulled groin, which he suffered against the Warriors on Christmas Day. The Lakers 1-2 in the absence of LeBron as he misses his fourth game. He's still day-to-day. Luke Walton declined to speculate beyond tonight. I don't think he's going to play this week. I think the Lakers are in a situation where they can kind of slow LeBron down, make sure he's 100% when he comes back. So no LeBron tonight as the Lakers take on the Thunder. We've got a break for just a moment. Local sports recap coming up. We'll also be joined by Coach Kurt Christiansen of the Emory Spartan Wrestling Team and also Coach Kyle Wilson of the Carbon Dinos. It's all straight ahead when we return right here on Drive Time Sports. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Boscarini with a look at local sports. And now that the holiday season is over, we can continue with the high school sports season. The moratorium has came to a close, and tonight the Emory Lady Spartan Girls basketball team will open up region play as they welcome in the South Sevier Rams at 7 p.m. The Emory Lady Spartans so far this year undefeated, coming off of a championship performance last year. Today will be the first of many Region 15 games. Start time for tonight's contest is set for 7 p.m. Following tonight's contest, the Lady Spartans will return to the court tomorrow. They will take on the Richfield Wildcats at 7 p.m. That contest will also be a part of Region 15 competition. Following the back-to-back tilts this week, the Lady Spartans will take the remainder of the week off. Now, once we get back to action with the girls' basketball scene, Emory High School sports schedule will pick up heavily on Friday. The wrestling team will travel on the road as they participate in the 3A duels, which will take place in Richfield. The swimming team will also take on the Grand Red Devils on the road in Moab, and the boys' basketball team will return to the court at home against the Richfield Wildcats on Friday. Emory is currently 0-1 in league play after suffering a road loss to the South Sevier Rams before the holiday break. Following this contest, the boys' basketball team will return to the court on Saturday to take on the Carbon Dinos. Now, Carbon High School's winter sports season will take an extra couple of days off. There will be no sporting event today, but the girls' basketball team will return to region action on Thursday as they travel on the road to meet Mazer Prep. The Lady Dinos have been dominant so far this year. They are the lone unbeaten team in Region 14 play with a perfect record of 3-0. Following tonight's contest against Mazer Prep, the Lady Dinos will take the remainder of the week off. On Friday, the boys' basketball team will return to the court with a league contest against Mazer Prep at 7 p.m. And then, of course, the boys' basketball team will take on Emory Saturday. Start time for this game is set for 7 p.m. It'll be the second and final meeting of the year between the two schools. Coming up on Thursday as well, the Carbon Wrestling Squad will continue the season as they play host to the Delta Rabbits. Delta, a well-known wrestling commodity here in the state of Utah, one of the top wrestling programs in the state, will provide a hefty challenge for Carbon. And again, this meet will take place on Thursday. Coming up this Saturday, Fierce MMA and Fitness will team up with Miss Carbon County's outstanding teen, Emily Elliott, for Heartbeats for Health. This is a competition in which both Fierce MMA and Miss Carbon County's outstanding teen hope to get more individuals in the community to work on their health. The event itself will provide music, food, and prizes. Pre-registration is not required, but the cost to participate will be $10, and it will be at Fierce MMA's gym, which is located at 1695 South Highway 10. You can also call Cody Bunderson at 630-0848 to register. All of the monies from the event will go to Castleview Hospital's cardiovascular program. Again, this is Heartbeats for Health, Fierce MMA and Fitness, and Miss Carbon County's outstanding teen, Emily Elliott's fundraiser going down this Saturday. And we end by moving over to fishing. This Saturday, the 2019 Millsite On Ice Fishing Tournament will take place at the Millsite State Park. There will be an adult and a youth contest. The cost is $50 per adult and $25 per child. Up to $2,000 in cash prizes and trophies will be rewarded. There will also be custom Millsite On Ice hoodies and much more. To register, make sure you visit CastleCountryRadio.com. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss the...
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Heavy emphasis on the local sports front today on Drive Time Sports. We're going to start by talking high school wrestling. On December 28th, the Carbon Dinos and the Emory Spartans went toe-to-toe. We got a complete recap of the varsity meeting at CastleCountryRadio.com. You can go check that out. Emory comes out on top and performed beautifully against Carbon. And now, the Spartans, fresh off the holiday break, are gearing up for the 3A duels this weekend in Richfield. Joining us right now to talk a bit about that, we have Coach Kurt Christiansen of the Emory High School wrestling team. Coach, always a pleasure. Thank you. It's great to get you back on today. Hopefully you had a fantastic holiday season.
Yeah, had a wonderful holiday.
Great. That's fantastic. I know sometimes we talk about the kids getting a little lengthy break. It's just as important for the coaches, I'm sure, to revitalize a little bit.
Yeah, you know what? We all were dealing with a little sickness and a few owies, and I hope we're ready to come back and go to work tonight.
Yeah, you know,
get started and get ready for the weekend.
As far as the schedule goes, Coach, I know you guys did have a couple of practices, which, of course, that's important. But you guys also had a meet with Carbon, and that worked out really in Emory's favor. I mean, it was a fairly dominating performance. To have a meet like that on December 28th, I guess you really never know what you're in fact going to see. How pleased were you with the boys' performance in that meet against Carbon?
You know what? Our turnout was wonderful. You know, we were missing a few kids from sickness. You know, up high, we had a funeral up high, so we missed a few of those upper weights that we could have taken advantage of as well. But, you know, all in all, I was really pleased with how we did, you know, coming off break like that and coming in and wrestling so tough. We threw in a few of our junior varsity kids. Well, I shouldn't say call them junior varsity, you know. At 106, we've been trading Byron and Jess in and out right there. And then at 120, now that Corby's down there, you know, Dwayne's still a varsity caliber wrestler, and he wrestled for us there at 120. So, you know, we got some real studs in those weight classes, and it's paying dividends for us. You know, our team is wrestling really well, and they're very deep, so it'll pay off for us in the postseason too.
I know in wrestling you got to monitor the boys, or you can't really monitor them, but at least trust that they're going to maintain their shape during the holiday break, Coach, and you guys will get back on it tonight as far as practice goes. But from what you saw on the 28th, were you happy with the way the boys came into that meet, I guess from a health standpoint?
You know what? We did really well. You know, I had Maddox Chrisman go on a cruise, and he came back only 15 or so pounds heavier than he left. You know, that was a surprise to him and us both when he stepped on the scale, but that'll be kind of fun. And Aiden Mortensen, he missed the duel this weekend because he was off cruising, so we'll see what it did for him. But, you know, pretty much everybody stayed in the gym and stayed healthy, and, you know, we do get our 2 pounds growth allowance, you know, after the break, so that'll help the boys out, and I think we're going to be in good shape.
Coach, it's a short week as far as practice goes. It's a short week in general because you had, you know, New Year's Eve on Monday. We had New Year's Day yesterday, and now we're back at it on the 2nd. You don't have a lot of time to prepare for this weekend, but it is an important weekend for this wrestling team. You guys are going to have a lot of tough matches.
Yeah, it's going to be big, and, you know, we're going to dual Carbon again here pretty quick, and, you know, they'll have a few of their sick guys back, and, you know, then we'll get a few of our guys. You know, Chase has been out at 138 with that sore shoulder, and he's got a clean bill of health now, so he'll be wrestling for us this weekend at 138. And then, you know, he's been really ripping it up. So, you know, we've been sad to miss. We've missed him in the last few duels. I really feel like we could have probably beat Delta had we had Chase at varsity there. And not that Tyrell Guymon hasn't stepped up and wrestled like a man. You know, as a freshman at 138 pounds, that's a tough row to hoe. And he is fighting for every point, and I am absolutely loving what he's doing there. But it'll be fun to have Chase back, you know, our senior captain there, and as well as he's been wrestling. And it looks really good for us this weekend. We've got, you know, a bunch of tough ones coming up this weekend, and try to go in and fight for placement in the divisional tournament. And learn a few things about our opponents so that come postseason we can put up the big wins.
It's fairly amazing. You're talking about divisionals. State's not that far off, Coach. I mean, it's kind of crunch time for the wrestling season once you get past New Year's.
Yeah, you know what? That month there goes quick. You know, we won't be wrestling State till the second week of February, but don't blink your eyes. It'll be here. You know, and these guys are going to go fight for position and jockey around a little bit with the other 3A division wrestlers and get some good mat time in. And then we'll have a couple more tough tournaments, the Rumble and the Gunnison tournament. And then pretty quick, it'll be on us. So we're really looking to peak and get ready for that postseason now.
Again, we're being joined right now by Coach Kurt Christiansen of the Emory High School wrestling team. Coach, you talk about peaking. You want to peak at the right time. What are some of the steps that you have learned over the last few years of being the head coach with Emory Wrestling? What are some of the steps that you can take to make sure the boys are peaking once you get into January?
Well, you know what? We pushed a little. When I first started, we pushed them a little too hard at the first of the season to be in shape. Instead of concentrating on our technique, and I think we've changed a little bit now. We've really got them wrestling sharp, and their technique's good, and now we can start pushing hard to get their bodies in shape. They've been gradually getting in shape, so I think we're actually avoiding some of those soreness issues that we've had in the past. I know we've had a few injuries, but all in all, I think they're recovering better and stuff. And, you know, we certainly haven't been outgassed, so to speak, in our matches. There's been a couple of teams who have been really fit, but I think we've been as fit as everybody. And now it's time to get down to business and get real fit. And, you know, we've had a weights program with Coach Allred there at the school, and that's looking really good on our boys. You can see it in their power. So, you know, big shout-out to them guys, helping them in the weight room. And, you know, we've talked about it before. This group of guys, it's been fun to coach them because, you know, we've been polishing moves instead of learning moves, you know. Usually until about this time of year, I'm teaching way more than I should be. And this bunch of guys is knowledgeable, and they're educated, and they're hardworking. So, you know, the difference in our statistics, you know, shows up right there. These boys know the sport. They know how to practice hard, and they believe in drilling, and it's showing up. You know, we're plumb excited to have this group of kids. So,
Coach, let's talk about some of the lower weights, and I'll make reference to the carbon meet as well. And I know that was a little bit odd with some of the missing individuals that you had talked about. But at 182, we saw Zion Gibson, and it seems like each time you and I talk, we talk a little bit more frequently about Zion. And I know he picked up a win at 182. Is that something that you're relying on down the stretch? Because I know at 195, we didn't have a match. Emory wins this one by forfeit. There was no match at 220, and then Carbon won at 285 by forfeit. So what are those four lower weights looking like for this team right now?
Yeah, those upper weights right there. Well, we had Trace Justison out, but he's suffering from an old football injury, the leg. That's what they're telling me. He's not putting much weight on it now. And no, he's just a freshman at 182 anyway. You know, so we throw Zion in there as a junior from 160 up, and he's been trying to pack on the weight and jump up there and fill that spot for us, at a varsity spot. And then his speed and athletic ability with some of those bigger kids, it actually works out in his favor. You know, we're down at 160, where those guys are a little more technical, he runs into some issues. But, you know, we're probably going to use him a lot come this weekend at 182. I don't know what postseason looks like for him. You know, he's going to be eligible to wrestle anywhere from 160 to 182 pounds. So he's going to just have to make some decisions based on what happens this weekend to see if he wants to, you know, try that upper weight and push for a podium spot at the state tournament there, you know. As far as 220, Braden Howard is looking really good. We did a double forfeit there this week, but that's just, he was home with the shivers and the shakes, you know. He kind of had the gomboo get to him this week, so we're hoping to have him back. He's looking really good. As a sophomore at 220, he's pretty solid. So, you know, over the next couple years, we're looking for really big things from Braden. And the same with Parker Beglin. You know, at 285 as a freshman there, he's winning matches he shouldn't win, and he's fighting hard against these, you know, seasoned veterans. And he's a little light for the weight class, but he's fighting hard and learning a lot, and we're, you know, looking forward to this weekend to see if we can get a few more wins in and learn a few of those opponents and maybe come back and surprise a few of them at the divisionals and state tournaments. So those upper four are definitely our wild card spots right now, but that's mostly because we have, you know, young and experienced wrestlers there, but they're trying hard and working hard in the room, and my coaches up there are really, really polishing on them. So we're looking for big things from them up there.
That's the upper weights, Coach. If we talk about the lower weights, it seems like you guys are typically always set from that 106 to, I don't know, roughly 145 mark. I mean, as the season continues to progress, how many state champions do you see in the making here this year with this squad? I asked you that at the beginning of the season. Now that we've reached kind of that midway point, I'm sure it's a little bit more clear.
Yeah, you know what? I don't think it's changed much. I've got a real shot at it, 106 pounds. You know, Byron's wrestling right now. He's got 32 wins and one loss, and the only loss he had was at Spring Creek, Nevada kid, who hasn't been beaten in several years, you know, hasn't been taken out of the second round in several years, and Byron pushed him all the way, you know. So, and he's really the only one that scored on Byron. So besides our own JV wrestler, Jess, you know, And so I've got two. They're going to be on the podium right there for sure. And then their cousin Sid at 106 is just a stud. He's winning all the JV tournaments. And, you know, if he gets a shot to take a shot at the state tournament, you know, I think you'll see him push in. So 106 looks real good for us. Jaron Allen at 113. The real only challenge he'll have is the Torgerson kid from out there to Richfield. You know, if he battles hard against the Delta kid in the divisionals this weekend, or at the 3A duels this week, and learns a few more things, I think we can beat those kids. And so we got a shot at the podium at 13. At 120, I've got two state placers there, I almost guarantee you. You know, with Dwayne Farley wrestling as good as he has, he's only got a few losses against varsity play at the 3A. And then Corby's there, of course. The only loss at 3A he has right there is the Delta kid. And we learned quite a bit about him last time we wrestled at the duel. So I don't see there's any reason why Corby can't be a state champion. Drake Mangum at 26 is looking really good. Wrestling really well. His spring wrestling's starting to show up. He's down at the weight class he should be. They're up at 32, and he's making, you know, I expect him to make a statement there. He's got a tough road to hoe. There's three guys there at 126 that are returning state champions. So that one's a real tough weight class. Little Overson. And at 32, I really expect him to be on the podium. He's wrestling really good at 32 and polishing and getting fit and looking good. Chase at 38, good grief. He can put anybody in the world on their back, and he can take anybody in the world down. You know, he is wrestling phenomenally. So I got another shot at 38. 45 with Briar Maccarello. Man, what a stud as a sophomore. He's coming in and wrecking some of, you know, the strongest wrestlers in Utah. We keep him healthy and look out at 145. You'll see 152, McKay Maccarello. I'll be real surprised. I'll eat my hat if he's not in the finals. That boy is wrestling good. He is doing good. And then, of course, we got Gus Dalton at 160, ranked number one in the state right now at 3A. So, you know, we just talked about it. From 106 to 160, I've got a shot at it.
Mm-hmm.
At 170, our freshman there, Hayes Dalton, don't be surprised if you see him in the finals. I mean, these guys are wrestling good. You can tell I'm excited about it. These guys have put in the time. They know their stuff. They're wrestling well, and they're fighting hard. Hayes lost a tough one the other day there at Carbon against their seasoned wrestler, you know, and we're a freshman at 170. And it was a one-point match, and Hayes thought he was winning the match. When they raised the other kid's hand at the end, he was just dumbfounded. He thought he had the lead, you know. So, you know, Hayes is wrestling beautifully. So from 106 to 170, I mean, none of those guys on the top of the podium is going to be a surprise to me. So, you know, I got a real legit shot at probably four of those weight classes of being state champions, but all the way through there, we're solid. And if things go our way, we could be in the finals with all of them. So, could be fun.
Yeah, definitely. Fun. Definitely an exciting time for Emory Wrestling. Coach, I'm always so appreciative of the time. Thank you very much. It's great to get you back on and start talking about the second half of the season. Best of luck this weekend, and I know we'll chat again real soon.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Again, that's Coach Kurt Christiansen of the Emory Sport and Wrestling Squad. We've got a break for just a moment. When we come back, I want to stick with the local sports front. Again, we haven't had updates with this winter sports season over the last few days on Drive Time Sports. Now that school's back in session, we are off and rolling. We're going to jump schools. We'll talk Carbon High School boys basketball when we return. They traveled on the road to Cedar City, playing in three games in 3 days in the middle of the Christmas and the New Year's moratorium. We'll talk to Coach Kyle Wilson about that when we return here on this Wednesday edition of Drive Time Sports.
Hello, sports fans.
Time for sports.
Let the games begin.
Turn on the radio.
It's time to talk high school basketball on the Coach's Corner.
More high school sports talk here on the show today. A Like I said, between the holiday season, high school sports, they kind of take a little break. Haven't talked a lot of high school sports, so ramping up that coverage on the show today. We just talked Emory High School wrestling, and I want to talk Carbon High School basketball. The boys team has an important weekend coming up. They'll resume region play on Friday against Mazer Prep, and then they'll travel to meet the Emory Spartans for the second and final meeting of the season on Saturday. Most recently, the Dinos, they managed to end a lengthy losing skid as they picked up back-to-back wins at the Steve Hodson Cancer Classic in Cedar City, picking up wins over Parowan and Panguitch. Joining us right now to talk a bit about that, we have Coach Kyle Wilson over the phone right now. Coach, a pleasure. Hopefully you had a great holiday season, and now you're set to get back at it.
All right, thanks for having me.
Definitely, Coach. We do have some positives to talk about. You guys traveled on the road to the Steve Hodson Cancer Classic. That has become a pretty big deal in Cedar City. A lot of good competition. You play three games in 3 days, and Coach, you come back with a record of 2-1. Got to halt somewhat of a lengthy losing skid and get back in the win column to open up 2019.
Yeah, you know, and even our past few games, you know, we started before we went down there, we started to play better. You know, we saw the little things that were starting to get accomplished. And I knew if, as long as we just kept doing those things and kept moving forward with that, that we'd start to see some wins. And went down there and, you know, started off a little slow, but, you know, going down playing on somebody's home court, you know, opened up with Canyonview down there and playing on their home court, you know, day one. You know, we knew it was going to be a battle. We didn't shoot the ball very well and made a few mental mistakes defensively, you know, whatnot. But ended up bouncing back and playing two good games in a row. You know, playing against, Parowan and Panguitch. Those are two really good programs. They're 2A. But they're really good teams. I think Parowan's probably, you know, they'd be my pick to win 2A this year. And Panguitch won it last year. And, you know, so two good programs we ended up, you know, playing really well against and saw some success.
We'll start with the Parowan game, Coach. And again, just so people are aware, you're picking them to win 2A. Last year, I believe they finished fourth, if I'm not mistaken. And so this is a legitimate group that's bringing back legitimate talent as well. You guys start off a little bit slow, but you guys did win the second half, Coach. And when the buzzer finally sounded and the game was over and you guys managed to halt that losing skid, I'm sure that's just a sigh of relief. I mean, for you and for the boys. And I'm going to have to say I didn't get to watch the games, but I'm willing to bet that translated into Saturday as well. I mean, I'm sure that was just that was something that was very much so needed for this team.
Yeah. You know, as a coach, you can look from the outside in a little bit and see that the guys are competing and they're doing the things you ask them to do. You know, like I said, that we started to make that turn and they were doing it, but, you know, still couldn't quite get over the hump, but yeah, it was a weight lifted off their shoulders when, you know, we got that win against Parowan, and like you said, against a really good basketball team, and you know, they got a senior, his last name's Wood, and he's a man, he's a stud, and some of the things he was doing on the court was fantastic, and, you know, they got a couple other younger guys, they got another guy, names are slipping my mind right now, he's a sophomore, he's about 6'3", he's going to be a force next couple of years. I kind of hope I don't match up. We don't play him next year, the year after, just because he's going to be a good basketball player and he's only a sophomore. But, you know, we it was a team win. We got into foul trouble way early against Parowan. We had 16 fouls in the first half, and I had to go pretty deep my bench. You know, I put a Caleb Winfrey in, who's a sophomore, and a Noah Bradford, who's a sophomore, and you know, Preston Condy got a lot of minutes that game. So, first half, that was a total team victory. You know, you look at the scorebooks. You know, it showed Hillam, you know, doing a lot of the scoring, but you know, what the score doesn't show and what the stats don't show are just the little things. You know, guys coming in and you know, playing their part and doing what they needed to do to help us win. You know, so that was probably the most, you know, the best game, best all-around team game we've had all year. And you're right, it translated into the Panguitch game. And, you know, playing against Panguitch, you know, we started off slow, and anybody who's watched Panguitch this year can understand. We got, you know, we had to battle back all game. We were down 9 going into the fourth, and they're a team that's methodical on offense, and they make you kind of get out and guard them. And if you don't do exactly what you're supposed to do, it's hard to come back, even just down 9 in the fourth quarter. I mean, anybody down 9 in the fourth quarter is hard, but, you know, they got a point guard, A.C. Orton, who's a very smart, very smooth basketball player. I think he had 28 on us. But, you know, that whole team, they're fundamentally great. But you know what? We took it one possession at a time. And, you know, my guys made the adjustments they needed to and, you know, went to overtime. You know, a couple calls didn't go our way at the end. But went into overtime and, you know, you got a guy like Derek Hillam and you put the ball in his hands and you say, hey, it's on you, man. go win it for us. And that's exactly what he did. He took care of the ball and made free throws in the overtime. And, you know, the rest of our defense stepped up. Everybody, it was another team win. Our defense was fantastic. You know, it's like I said, Derek gets the accolades because he's the guy who puts the ball in the hole, and his defense is phenomenal. But, you know, without those other guys doing what they were supposed to be doing, you know, we don't win that game.
Again, we're being joined right now by Coach Kyle Wilson of the Carbon Dino Boys basketball team. Coach, the schedule is a little bit odd because, again, you have those three games, and that's in between Christmas and New Year's. And I know there's the moratorium, so you have to break for a couple of days. You get December 30th through basically tomorrow off. And then January 4th, this Friday, it's a home region contest against Mazer Prep. And then you jump out of league play, and you'll take on Emory on the road. Schedule's been a little bit awkward. I know you approach every game with the must win, but jumping back and forth from in region play to out of region play, is that difficult at all for a team?
You know, it can be. You know, it can be. And the reason I like going to the Classic down in Cedar City is you get three games in 3 days. And what I make sure I tell my guys is, you know, if we make it to the state tournament or when we make it to the state tournament, that you're going to play, you know, our goal is three games in 3 days. So it kind of shows them what, you know, what mental toughness you have to have and what, you know, physicality is going to take. And so it's kind of I like doing that, three games in 3 days for those guys over. And, you know, it's not always at 7 o'clock. You know, we played at 7 one night, 12:30, and then 3:30. So it's kind of sporadically and a little hectic. But, you know, it's good for those guys. And I'm sure it's tough on them mentally and physically. And, you know, it's tough on us coaches, you know, mentally and making sure our guys are prepared. But, you know, and then you're right. Then you get a little bit longer break, and then they throw us right back into region play against Mazer. You know, and it's a game. It's like every other region game that I've said. It's a winnable game. You know, we got to show up. We got to do the little things that's, you know, got us those few wins this year. But we can't just show up. We got to come ready to play against this team.
You definitely don't want to jump too far ahead, Coach, but I think it's safe to say that this is the most important stretch for this team. Five out of the next six league games will actually be at home for you guys, which means you got to end on a three-game road trip. And, you know, you and I have talked about, you know, you still a couple on the road, protect home court, and you're fine. Crucial, crucial couple of weeks coming up for this team.
Yeah, you know, if we can, you know, if we can get a couple, you know, if we can win those five at home, it'd be fantastic. But, you know, we just need to take it one game at a time. And, you know, like you said, we're not trying to look too far ahead. But, we're 0-3 in region right now. So honestly, the thing that I'm looking at is Friday. You know, if we can get that win Friday, you know, it'll be three in a row, three wins in a row, and then, you know, our first region win. And, winning solves a lot of things. Winning solves a lot of problems. You know, it catches on quick. You know, everybody gets the taste of it a little bit, and they want it more and more. So, you know, winning solves a lot of problems, and if we can just rattle off a couple more in a row, that you know, I think we'll be fine. And you know, one of my assistant coaches, Taylor Brower, you know, we were frustrated after the Delta loss at home, which I thought we played really well and just kind of had a couple mental errors and a couple mistakes. But Taylor reminded me, you know, it's how you play at the end of the season. You know, it's how you're playing at the end, not how you're playing, you know, how you start, it's how you finish. And, you know, I said, yeah, you know, Taylor, you hit on the nose. So I'll make sure I preach that to my guys. Listen, we're getting better. We just got to keep getting better. There's not a team out there that we can't beat. But we got to keep getting better no matter what happens. Even if we lose, we got to keep getting better. And you know, come middle, end of February, you know, I hope we should be playing our best basketball.
Well, and when you start 0-3, you got to kind of work your way out of the hole. And I guess the way to look at that is, look, you didn't fall 0-3 overnight. You're not going to become 3-3 or climb the 500 barrier overnight, Coach. But the Friday game against Mesa Prep, I mean, you guys can instantly catch one team in the standings with a victory Friday night at home. It's that simple.
Yeah. You know, if we can beat Mesa, you know, that's what it is. And then we're back to it, you know, and we just go to the next one. You know, it's one at a time. You know, we're not playing five games in a day, and we're not playing back to back to back. And, you know, if we can, you know, do what we need to do and execute our basketball and get a win Friday. You know, it's always nice to beat Emory Saturday, but I don't really care. but if we can beat Mesa Friday, you know, if we can put our stuff together, you know, and do what we need to do and get that win, then we can focus on the next one.
We'll end with this, Coach. Now that you've had an opportunity, you'll have an opportunity to see the boys this afternoon, knowing that you did get to travel with them to Cedar after Christmas. Everybody healthy? Did everybody stay in shape or at least well enough shape over the holiday break? I know that's always a concern for coaches.
Yeah, I think so. You know, like I said, we were a little slow, sluggish coming that first game down the Classic, but you know, these guys, good thing about these guys, they're all active for the most part, whether it's they find a time to go goof around and play basketball, or they find a go hunting or, you know, walking around looking for rabbits or shed horns or whatever it is, or looking for deer. They're always being active. They don't just sit a whole lot. But yeah, so I mean, I'm excited. You know, it's a new year and we're playing pretty decent basketball right now. And my goal is just to keep moving them forward and keep getting them better.
Coach, it's always a pleasure to get you on and talk Carbon High School basketball. Thank you very much again for the time. 2019 is going to be a lot of fun. I know there's a lot of meaningful basketball straight ahead, and I look forward to more conversations with you. So thank you.
Well, thanks for having me.
Coach Kyle Wilson again of the Carbon Dino Boys basketball team. Always fun to get an update on the Dinos. Do not forget, you'll be able to listen to Friday night's game on our sister station, KRPX 95.3 The Peak. Live coverage will begin at 6:30 p.m. We've got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return.
Live from the KOAL newsroom in Price, Utah, it's Drive Time Sports on 107.3 FM and 7:50 a.m.
Take that for data.
Back for the final touches on this Wednesday edition of the show. It's right here on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. Great to get caught back up again on the local sports front. Do not forget, we got a lot of basketball coming up this weekend. We're going to continue the high school basketball talk on the show tomorrow. We'll be joined by Coach Todd Jeffs of the Emory Spartans. And then coming up on Friday, we'll catch up with Coach Vando of the USU Eastern men's basketball team. USU Eastern, after a very, very long road trip, coming back home to open up conference play against Colorado. That'll be for both the men and the women. I want to remind you that you can watch USU Eastern anytime, anywhere this season by visiting KOALITV.com. All their games will be shown live at KOALITV.com. You'll have the play-by-play commentary that you love here on KOAL on top of the video, on top of everything else. So make sure that you follow the USU Eastern Eagles in depth, but also make sure you get out, give them the home court that they definitely deserve. It's been a very long time since they have played at the BDAC. We'd have to go all the way back to November. It was like a month and a half long road trip for the USU Eastern men's squad, and now they get Colorado Northwestern to open up the conference slate. We'll have triple header action for you on Saturday, the USU Eastern women followed by the men, and then we'll move into Carbon and Emory as well. So I'm looking forward to this Saturday. We'll talk about that Carbon Emory contest tomorrow with Coach Todd Jeffs, and again, Coach Vando of the USU Eastern Eagles will join us on Friday to talk a bit about that. Also tomorrow, we have to start talking NFL playoffs, couple of days away. Who do you like in the Super Bowl this year? You know, I've been talking with a couple of people about this. I think it's a flat-out crapshoot at this point in time. You know, I like New Orleans. I don't like New Orleans beating the Rams twice. I like the Rams. I have some question marks on if they can stop the run. If you can establish the run against that team, I think you can have success. You know, Seattle to me is a scary team. Dallas, they've come on strong as of late. Can Dak keep that up through the postseason? I'm just talking about the NFC here. I haven't even talked about the Super Bowl champs who snuck in. Philadelphia as a sixth seed, and then you have the Bears as well. The NFC to me seems like a crapshoot. In the AFC, it's much the same. The Patriots have never been this vulnerable, and they managed to sleepwalk into a first-round bye in the playoffs. And the hottest team in the NFL right now that nobody is talking about is the Indianapolis Colts, and I would be petrified to play that team. I love the Los Angeles Chargers, but can we trust them? They lie to us every January. So I don't know. The NFL playoffs is going to be a lot of fun. We'll talk about that on the show tomorrow. And again, I want to dive a little bit deeper into the Pittsburgh Steelers and what's happening in Steeler land. Just out of character for something like this to go down with this franchise who typically keeps things under a tight lock, and they're kind of that model franchise. I don't know if you can call them that anymore, really. There's a lot of problems with this current group that they have. And we'll talk about that on the show tomorrow. Always a pleasure. Thank you to Coach Kurt Christiansen and also Coach Kyle Wilson for making time for us today. For Travis Anderson, I'm Jordan Buscarini. Have a terrific day. Be safe. We are out.